If you look closely at history and look closely at current events, you're going to observe a pattern, an important theme of history and politics that repeats itself over and over again. In all of history, all secular government seeks to control religion. You can't find an exception. Look at the Church of England, the official church of the king. Look at China and how they are trying to control all religion in China. Even the Catholic Church in China isn't the Catholic Church because it's the Chinese Catholic Church, like the Church of England. Look even recently here in Austin, Texas, at government attempts to shut down churches, even all across the United States attempting to shut down churches, worse in some states than others due to the pandemic. In many places, ministers and church members have been arrested, put in jail. The churches have been locked, barred. If you look closely, you're going to see this pattern repeated over and over and over again. Governments attempt to control the church and church teachings. Now, I know we're in a pandemic and there have to be measures, but it gave the government an opportunity. Even last year, as we were coming down out of the most severe shutdown last May, the city of Austin sent an inspector when we were having mass out here on the field. Somebody called him. The inspector came out. I spoke with him, and he came to give us a ticket and shut us down. He didn't do it. This theme, this repetition, is one of the themes of today's first reading in Kings. The Israelite king and his pagan wife Jezebel had killed all of the prophets chosen by and sent by God, God's prophets. They killed them all except Elijah. Elijah was the only one left. Elijah then challenged the chosen, the official priests, the secular priests of the local government and the king and the queen. He challenged them to perform a contest, to offer an offering to God, build two altars, put offerings on it, and each one call down their gods to devour the sacrificial offerings. Well, Elijah bested them. Even though he had thrown water over and over and over again on top of his altar and the lambs that were offered, he called on God and God consumed everything. The water, the altar, the offerings. And after besting these official state pagans, Elijah declared, God is God, the only God. He had them seize these imposter prophets. There were 300 of them, and he slaughtered them all. After the miracle of that day, Elijah didn't have anything left. He knew that the state would try and kill God's prophet. And so he fled a day into the desert. Today's reading picks up there. Elijah is depressed. He's tired. He's worked hard. He's traveled all day long. And he has nothing to hope for. They're out to kill him. He's fleeing for his life. They needed to silence this prophet from God by killing him. And exhausted, Elijah lies down under a broom tree, depressed and asking God for death. Instead, God gives him more strength and life. Elijah sleeps under the broom tree, and the angel of the Lord taps him on the shoulder, and there's a loaf of bread at his head and a jug of water. And the angel of God says to Elijah, "Get up! Get up and eat, else the journey will be too long for you." He got up, ate and drank, and then, strengthened by that food, he walked for 40 days and 40 nights to the Mount of God, Horeb. There's a strong echo of the Eucharist in this story. Elijah could not ever have made it walking 40 days from the north of Israel all the way down to the Sinai, to the south of Israel, Mount Horeb, which is also known as Mount Sinai, where God spoke to Moses, and 8 centuries before that, or several centuries before that, gave him the Ten Commandments, the tablets of the Ten Commandments. Now, strengthened by that bread from heaven, Elijah was able to walk almost 6 weeks to Mount Horeb. Bread from heaven gave him supernatural strength. And at Mount Horeb, God spoke personally to Elijah as he had centuries before to Moses. They spoke person to person. Reflect for just a moment on the strength, the power of God's heavenly food. Elijah had no more fear of the pagan king and his wife Jezebel in Israel. God fed Elijah, and he went on to even greater things after this event, after Mount Horeb, things that would free Israel from these pagan rulers. That's the power also of the Eucharist. With the Eucharist, we shall not fear. We don't need to fear any earthly secular power. If you have the Eucharist, you are way beyond any fear for that. The Eucharist and the world are at war, even today. And the world doesn't know it, but the Eucharist is already won. What's missing is our regular participation in the Mass and in the Eucharist and the sacrament of the Eucharist that gives us so much strength. The Eucharist will not just give us strength to journey from Mount Carmel in the north to Mount Horeb in the south, but all the way to heaven. That's power. That's strength. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 6 of John, we have Jesus' most complete teaching on the Eucharist. It's as clear as a bell. The worldly people who heard Jesus speaking about the bread of life refused to accept it. Jesus repeated the message in different ways, with different words, insisting, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever has eternal life, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread of life that comes down from heaven so that one may eat it and not die." Elijah didn't have the Eucharist 8 centuries before Jesus' birth, but God fed Elijah and gave him supernatural strength with bread from heaven. And Jesus gives us his body and blood, our Eucharist, food that we may not die, that we may have eternal life. That's the promise. In that second reading from St. Paul, Paul tells us how to live as a Eucharistic community in the church with the Eucharist. He says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were sealed for the day of redemption. All bitterness, fury, anger, shouting, and reviling must be removed from you, along with all malice. And be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving one another as God forgives you in Christ." The world, despite every kind of politics in all of history, will never understand the sacramental life of the church. They'll never encourage the sacramental life of the church. In fact, they will try and block it. We see it over and over again. And they'll always seek to dominate and control the church. They're jealous of the church's influence and power. If you have eyes to see, then see and hold fast to the sacramental life of the church. Recall that we will see Elijah once again 8 centuries later during the life of Jesus, walking and talking with Jesus and Moses on Mount Tabor at Jesus' transfiguration. It's written about in all 4 Gospels. It happened. And then heed the angel's word to Elijah with regard to our Eucharist. "Get up and eat, or the journey will be too long for you." With the Eucharist, you can get to heaven.